you know, we're referencing that some to changes in climate over a long period of time. You know, it's a very slow change, but it is in fact happening.
And when we say a little bit earlier, what does that mean specifically?
You know, we're talking about a few days to a week earlier in terms of emerging from their dens, and the same in terms of entering their dens. And, you know, that's something that we've been noticing here on the Rocky Mountain front, in particular with global climate change, in that we've been having some really mild springs, which isn't really quite the situation here this spring, but mild springs where the snowpack has left those denning aspects where our grizzly bears generally tend to den. They dig their own dens. They excavate them high in the mountains above 6,000 feet, and the snow covers those dens and insulates them. And as the snow comes off, bears start to emerge a little bit earlier. And this is more of an average year, and we're seeing bears in terms of emergence dates that it's going to be more like an average year of what we used to see 10, 20 years ago.
And when they're denned up, are they out cold for the entire season, or is it they're in and out?
Bears, both grizzly bears and black bears, are in fact true hibernators, but they are able to arouse very quickly and defend themselves within the den or outside of the den. And so although they're not the deep hibernating mammals like ground squirrels might be or marmots, grizzly bears are really out cold. Females do end up waking up and giving birth to cubs in the den, those females that are pregnant. And that, I think I sent you a picture earlier of a female that was in her den, and she actually gave birth to a few cubs. We don't know for sure. We didn't get an observation of them, but we see the little cub tracks outside the den.
How do they nurse?
As soon as the cubs are born, they just pull those cubs in close to them, and they begin to nurse while they're hibernating.
Nature's amazing, Mike.
It really is. You know, bears are an amazing species.
So their priority now for those that are starting to snap out of it is one and only thing, I'm assuming, and that's got to be food.
Right. You know, really what causes bears to start to arouse and emerge is photo period, the lengthening days. And bears start to arouse and they look out the den, they go back in. And a lot of times when we do our first grizzly bear denning flight, we actually can see that bears have come out of the dens and then gone back in and entered back into hibernation. And so that changing photo period or day length is really what get them moving. You know, they're in lethargy, so they're not actually hungry. They're just slowly waking up in reference to the changing day length. And a lot of times bears will leave their dens, you know, and bed down in the vicinity of their den for a week or so on a sunny slope and actually be in a torpor condition and then drop down into lower elevations.
Well, you had quite an interesting day yesterday. Tell us about it.
Well, we did. I fly with a pilot by the name of Rick Geiger, who's with Montana by Air, and he's an excellent pilot. He's been flying on the Rocky Mountain front out of Cutbank for 30 years or so. And we really needed to check out some of these grizzly bear dens, pinpoint the dens, and to see what kind of activity is around the dens. And it was just one of those swirling, cloudy days. And, you know, I've been flying for about 35 years on grizzly bear telemetry flights. And I experienced really some of the most amazing pilot abilities. We got in those clouds into the drainages. And, you know, Rick was just able to fly and pull around those clouds in this small six. It's a small fixed-wing aircraft. And we were able to fly and locate these bears. We did better than we expected, considering the weather conditions.
What'd you see?
You know, we thought maybe we'd be able to fly higher, because when we're able to gain altitude in small aircraft, we can scan further for bears that are radio collared or radio transmitted. So we have some bears that have ear tag transmitters in their ears. And so in all rights, if it were totally clear, we may have gotten more bears and been able to fly a little bit further. But considering the weather conditions, we located four adult female grizzly bears. All four of those grizzly bears were in their den still. And we observed one subadult male. He's a large male that we caught on a research project last year in radio collared. And he was just laying in a day bed on a south-facing sunny slope. He looked very comfortable. And he was laying next to what looked like an old deer carcass that he might have been feeding on.
Why would the female still be hibernating and at least this one particular male, if not exactly up and at him, at least up and lounging a little bit?
Yeah, that's a good question, Edward. It's pretty typical. The adult males and subadult males are really the first to emerge from their dens in the spring. And those females that have yearlings or two-year-olds might leave next in terms of stenning emergence chronology. And then those females that have cubs of the year are last to emerge. And that's a typical thing that most research projects see across the Northern Hemisphere. We see bears that have cubs emerge late, last, because they're, of course, they're nursing their cubs, and they're also protecting those cubs to some degree in the den. And the same thing with den entry. The adult females that are pregnant or those with cubs usually enter their dens earlier, and the adult males are the very last to leave. And you might have heard, you know, in the news last December, there was a grizzly bear that was incidentally captured in a wolf trap in the middle of December on the Rocky Mountain front. And, you know, we handled that bear, released it. He was fine. He wasn't injured. And we radio-collared and released him on the Rocky Mountain front in the middle of December.
Okay, so we've learned here that bears are emerging. Others will be following suit here soon. So this means what for people who are getting in their last turns in the backcountry on their teleskis, or ranchers or people in the interface? What do we do?
It's a good idea to think now that be more bear aware, that bears are emerging. Bears will be down on low elevation sites and down along trails, so that backcountry users just be cognizant of bear sign tracks. Carry bear spray. Bear spray is a very effective tool in the case of an encounter. And for ranchers, for homeowners, for those that live on the outskirts of Missoula, or for us, Shoto and Dapuyer, to take in your dog food if you've been leaving dog food out on your porch, cat food. Start to think about pulling in your bird feeders and not feeding birds anymore, or make sure that they're hung up at least 10 feet high, you know, so bears can't access those bird feeders. So, you know, think about those attractants that might draw bears in, including livestock feed. That might be, you know, horse cake or grain. Make sure that it's in a bear-resistant container or inside a building, and that the building's closed up.
Right. And if you do happen to see a bear, be it grizz or black, how should you behave so as not to make a bad situation even worse?
You know, generally it is different between grizzly bears and black bears. If you really are aware, hey, I'm looking at a black bear and you're on the trail, it's actually better to make yourself known, to make some noise, and move that bear off. Because black bears generally will run and flee from people. And if a black bear is approaching you, you know, it's generally better to scare it off. If you know you're looking at a grizzly bear, the best thing to do is just stand your ground and not be in a threatening position. If you have bear spray, remove it and have it prepared. Otherwise, if a bear is feeding on a slope, a grizzly bear, back up, move out, and plan an alternate route through an area.
And that applies even if it's a sow with a cub?
Yes. Any female grizzly bear with cubs that you observe, it's really a good idea to back up and move out of that area. Generally, because females tend to be more defensive in protecting their cubs, it's better just to avoid the area altogether and change your plans.
Last question is a pop quiz. Quick, how do you tell a black bear from a grizzly?
Sometimes it can be difficult, but generally a grizzly bear, if you're looking at a bear and you see a high hump, you know, over its shoulders, that's muscle and bone. Grizzly bears dig a lot more than black bears do, but, you know, grizzly bears have a large hump over their shoulders. Even cubs, you can usually define that. And there's a high forehead, or some people call it a dished face, but there's generally a high forehead. Black bears have more of a sloping rostrum or a nose, or they saw it, some people call it a Roman nose. They have short claws. If you're that close, you can see these longer claws on grizzly bears. And the highest part of their back generally tend to be their rump. Color is not a good way to define bears. Our black bears, especially here on the Rocky Mountain front, can be blonde as grizzly bears.
Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks grizzly bear management biologist Mike Madel, so good talking with you. Always fun to talk with you guys and gals who study bears. What a job you all have.
Thank you so much, Edward. It was really a privilege. I enjoyed it. Thank you.